Tonight's your Chloe.
As per request, I finally posted ahead of time. So maybe we'll rename the computer to do so. It's entitled Relying on Miracles, Faith or Folly, or something along those lines. And the question is, to what extent is a person, is an individual, allowed to be Sovek Halaneh? And we'll see that Nata Hashem during the Shir, that there appear to be different approaches to the problem. And we'll see if we can possibly resolve these different approaches, to try to come to some sort of understanding as to when one may or may not. And a little bit about at the end, talk about the necessity, well, the relationship between Bitachon and HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Hishtadlus, which is something that stems from to what extent do we rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's intervention or not. But let's start at the beginning. Source number one, this week's Parsha, that Yaakov Avinu is returning to Eretz Canaan, and of course he goes out and he sends messengers at the beginning of the Parsha to Esav, and the messengers return and say that Esav is coming to greet you, or coming towards you with 400 men. And we pick up at Pasuk Zayin, Vayira Yaakov Mo'od Vayetzalo. Yaakov is very worried, he's troubled, and he makes various preparations. And Rashi points out in source number 2, the very famous Rashi, well known, Hiskenat Moshe Shlosha Dvarim, that Yaakov Avinu prepares for this meeting with Esav in 3 different ways. L'dorom, L'tfilo, U'lamilchama. He sends a present. If one wanted to be crass, one could call it a bribe, but a sort of present to Esav. Vatavra minchalpana, litfila, hidavim stakadosh baruch hu. And when Nochava, he prepares for war and he splits his camp in case Esav comes to attack half the camp and the other half will run away. And he has all these 3 preparations, but there seems to be one thing that Yaakov doesn't do or say. So, let's say he doesn't say, what else did he say? Esav's coming. God will protect me. That he doesn't say. He says, Esav's coming. I have to send Esav presents. I have to dive in. I have to prepare for war. He just doesn't rely on the fact that the Kodesh Baruch Hu will send the cavalry in and save him. The Gemara in Shabbos in source number 3 comments and says, La'olam al yamod adam b'makom sakana, lo mashosim lo nek. A person should never place himself in a dangerous situation and say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do a miracle. Why not? 2 reasons. First of all, Shema eino osim lo nek. Says the miracle will happen. Who says you're allowed to rely on the fact that a miracle will happen? Maybe it won't happen. The emosim lo nes, and if perchance the miracle does happen and you get saved, still menakin lo mizchiotav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes you pay a price for it. A person has certain zchuyot that they've accumulated in their lifetime. And if a Kodesh Baruch Hu does an ace to save you in a time of sakana, it's going to cost you lots of those kuyot. You won't have them in Olam Haba. And you'll have less in Olam Hazeh. So don't rely on an ace. Amar Rabbi Chanan, my crow, where's the source? Katonti mikola chasadam, mikola emes. Every time that a Kodesh Baruch Hu did a chesed to Yaakov Avinu feels katonti. His kuyot were less and less. Who knows if he has any kuyot left? So here we have Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov doesn't rely on a miracle. Why not? Why doesn't Yaakov rely on a miracle? After all, runs the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world, so either things are going to happen or things aren't going to happen. Maybe Yaakov should suggest that it doesn't make any difference what I'm going to do. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants Esav to kill me, Esav will kill me. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want Esav to kill me, Esav won't kill me. Why am I bothering preparing for war? Why am I bothering preparing, you know, sending in presents? What after David? Either it's going to be or it's not going to be. Because Baruch Hu runs the world. Comes along the Sefer HaChinuch in source number 4 and gives us a very important yisod in how HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. I don't think we'll read the whole piece, but at least the beginning. Yishor Shei HaMitzvah. Which mitzvah? I did write here, but I think in the title page I wrote what it is. It's the mitzvah of ma'akeh. What's the mitzvah of ma'akeh? That if you have a roof that's accessible to people, and people go up on there, what do you need to do? Build a fence, a ma'akeh. Why? It's dangerous. Somebody might fall off. So I'll come along and I'll say, why do I need to make a fence? If God wants the person to fall off, the offense won't help. And if God doesn't want the person to fall off, the offense isn't necessary. Why do you need offense? Whatever God wants is going to happen anyway. Says the Sefer HaChinuch Nishor Shei HaMitzvah. L'fi she'im ayot Hashem Baruch Hu Mashgiach v'pirtei b'nei Adam v'yodea kol ma'aseyem v'chol Hashem yikra lehem tov v'ra v'gizrato v'mitzvato. He starts off by saying, it's true, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows everything that's going on. And he's involved in the details of everything, for good, for bad. A person doesn't bend his finger here unless HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Shemayim agrees that it's to be bent. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants it bent, it's bent. If he doesn't want it bent, it's not bent. A person must protect himself from the common events of the world. Why? Kodesh Baruch Hu created the world with certain laws of nature. And he wants the world in general to work according to the laws of nature. V'gazar shi'ei ha'esh sorefet. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created fire and said fire will burn. That's the way he wants to run the world. So I can't stick my hand into fire and say, listen, if God wants my hand to be burned, so it will be burned. And if he doesn't want it to be burned, it won't be burned. So it makes no difference whether I stick my hand into the fire or not, because whatever God wants to happen, will happen. The answer is, God wants fire to burn. That's what it is. And if you stick your hand into the fire, what's going to happen? It'll burn. Not because God wanted your hand to burn. God just created the world that the tether of the world is that fire burns. You stick your hand into the fire, you're going to get burnt. And he created this part of nature that water puts out fire. I can't build a campfire in the pouring rain and said if God wants there to be a fire, it'll be a fire. And if he doesn't want there to be a fire, it doesn't be a fire. It doesn't matter whether it's raining or not, whether I pour a bucket of water on the fire or not. Of course it matters. That's the way Hashem created the world. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the laws of gravity, and he created the human body in such a way, and rocks with a certain weight, that if a rock will fall on a person's head, what's going to happen? It's going to create a big boo-boo. Not because, right, God necessarily, the person says, it says, I don't know, there's a construction zone, rocks are falling, I'll just walk outside. God wants my head to, you know, to be smashed, will be smashed no matter what. No, God created the world, rocks are falling, it's going to hit your head, you're going to get smashed. Or for that matter, and this is the mitzvah at hand, so in Yipol Adam Erosha Gaga Gavola La'aretz Sheyamut. He created nature in such a way. A person falls off the roof, and he falls to the ground, he's going to get hurt, or Rahman al-Islam, even worse than that, he could die. That's why you have to build a ma'akh. There's no such thing that, you know, a person says, every bullet has its name on it. Like, God wants me to die, I'm going to die anyway. God doesn't want me to die, I'm not going to die. I can go around, people are shooting bullets all over the place. Whatever, God created that bullets will kill. You walk into the firing line, make it not because HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided earlier that day that you're supposed to, the person X is supposed to die. But he did decide at the beginning of the time that a person walks in front of a bullet, so will kill him. Like, you decided to walk in front of a bullet, you decided to jump off the Brooklyn Bridge and say, if God wants people to, he wants me to die, so die, doesn't want me to die, so I'll end up swimming in the East River. No, you jump off the Brooklyn Bridge, you're going to get killed. Why? Because that's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. And you can't rely on some sort of nace or anything that I'll jump off the Brooklyn Bridge and I won't die. Because God didn't decide this morning I'm supposed to die. That's what happens when you jump off the Brooklyn Bridge. And therefore, says the Sefer Achinuch, says that a person is not allowed to rely on miracles. B'nai Yisrael are going to war. There's a Mechemet Mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to go to war. So how should everybody go to war? Everybody just walk out, you know, take along a chumash. And there's Amalek over there. So we're fighting Amalek. It's a Mechemet Mitzvah. So we'll go to war. And I'll need a chumash. I'll take my tehillah, maybe a little bit better. I'll take my tehillah, and then I'll go to war. And I'll, you know, and then maybe Amalek will see us saying tehillah, and they'll all fall over and die. That's the way Yeshua went to war against Amalek. No. He took fighters, he took his armaments, his swords and his spears and everything else that's necessary, and he went to fight a Mechemet Mitzvah with weapons. Why? God wants us to fight, so he'll take care of it. God wants us to fight, but he decreed that the world is going to run off the Derech HaTeva, which means you have to be prepared. Now, we all know that I'm supposed to fight against Amalek, some Shemosh, and the other Shemosh. You need the Siyata Dishmaya. And without the Siyata Dishmaya, you can be the best prepared army in the world and can fall apart. But it's not only HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take care of everything and I can just say Tehillim. So the person has to go fight the war and you need to be prepared for it. And similarly, the Chovot HaLevavot in source number 6 says, in general, Ki Adam, even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides how long a person should live, nevertheless, yesh al adam litgalgel lisibot hachayim b'machol b'mishteh b'malbush b'ma'on k'tzichah. A person has to take care of himself. He has to prepare for himself food and drink and clothing and a roof over his head. V'lo yaniach et zeh al elokim sheyomar. I don't have to eat. You know why I don't have to eat? Because if God decided that I'm going to live to be 85 years old, why do I have to bother eating? I'll live to be 85 years without food. And if he decides I'm not going to live, so even if I did eat, it wouldn't make a difference. A person can't live his life that way. Because the Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't want the person to live his life that way. Kodesh Baruch Hu didn't create the world that way. He created the world that it works of Pi HaTef. That's the way the world works. And therefore, you have to build a ma'akeh. But you're not selling chanisim all over the place. But there's one exception. There's the first chanisim, there's an exception. If you take a look at the second paragraph in source number 4, right, so Sefer Achinuch va'anan yitzat mi bnei adam asher hamelech chafeis biyikaram v'rov chasidutam udvekut nafsham bidrachav baruch hu heima chasidim agzolim asher meyolim anshe shen kmo avot agdolim v'aktoshim v'abey min abanim sheyu achareim kmo Daniel, Hananya, Mishael, v'azai v'domehem. Why does he mention Daniel and Hananya, Mishael, v'azai? Well, volunteered or not, but they were thrown at Kifshana Esh, Hanani Mishael Vazaya, Daniel thrown into the Gov Ariel, into the lion's den, and what happens? They come out unscathed. And there was the Shinui Miderech HaTeva. Why? Explains, and Avraham Avinu, in the Kibshan HaEish, according to the Medrash with Nimrod, because if somebody is so unique and so connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so much to a certain extent removed from Olam Hazeh, and he's such a spiritual person, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will say, I'm such a person that the Olam HaTeva doesn't control this person, doesn't affect this person. He is so connected to me, when I take him away from the Olam HaTeva, and we work things differently. Hananiah, Mishael, and Isaiah can go into the fiery furnace and come out without a singe on their clothing. And Daniel can go into the Gov Arayel and have fun playing with the little pussycats. The ferocious, hungry lion. But these are very, very, very unique beings. People who are extremely special. And that's not the average. And the Ramban, in his Perush on Iyov, in source number 5, talks about this. And he says, there is the Chassid Gamur. There is the total, total Chassid. So Davik B'Hakadosh Baruch Hu. He's so connected to God. He's such a spiritual person that the Olam HaTeva doesn't have an effect on him. It's a negative effect. Kadosh Baruch Hu watches over him everything b'derech nes. There's the Rasha Marusha, who's so far removed from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that HaKadosh Baruch Hu might let the Teva totally control him. And he writes towards the end that most of us are somewhere in between. Most of us are somewhere where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is somewhat involved, but isn't necessarily going to protect us if we throw ourselves into a fiery furnace or jump off a building or go into a den of hungry lions. There's a certain degree of Ashkacha, but there is a tremendous amount of the Olam HaTeva that's also there. And therefore a person is not supposed to rely on this. Can't rely on this. With that, maybe we understand a famous Mishnah. Maybe it's famous because we say it's Friday night by Memad Likin. But in source number 7, it says, Al Shalosh Averot Nashim Metosh, B'Shas Le'Dasar. There are 3 Averot that women might die from when they give birth. Al She'inan Zihirot B'Nida, B'Chalo B'Zlakat Aner. Because they're not careful about Taras HaMishpacha, about Hafresh HaSchala, and about lighting Shabbos candles. So, why is it dangerous when they're giving birth? Like, if they weren't careful about these mitzvahs and they don't deserve to live, so they won't live. And if they do deserve to live, so what's the connection between the Shas Le'Dasa and then already HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at these things? Says Rashi off to the side. He says, Aisha kishihi bebriyot ba'amim shezvichiyotea tolin ven koach ha-mekatreg lahaskir ona, avona. So the woman, which is basically in a safe, healthy situation, so she has certain zuchuyot, she may have certain averos, every person has, but she can get by. But when she places herself or she finds herself in a dangerous situation, and now she needs a little bit more of divine intervention because it's a dangerous situation. She needs a little more divine intervention, so she deserves it. And what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? He takes a look and to see how she has been acting. So when everything is going fine, the person is like a little bit of a bein on the averus, a mitzvah, etc. Okay, you get by, you live Baruch Hashem. But when you're in a shat sakana, and labor by definition is dangerous, you know, you can be machal Shabbos, someone goes into labor on Shabbos, because that's So now, for a person to survive, there's a certain degree of thing of intervention, divine intervention that's necessary. Now, again, most women, Baruch Hashem, the vast majority of women, Baruch Hashem, survive childbirth. And it may not be as dangerous as, I don't know, a triple bypass, what kind of surgery. But nevertheless, there's a certain extra Chasdei Hashem that a person needs. Therefore, Chazal come along and say there are certain things especially that a woman needs to be careful about. She's careful. Be'ezus Hashem, she'll be zocha for that added level of divine intervention. She's not careful. HaKadosh Baruch Hu may say, she's not so careful, not so spiritual. Let's have her take its path, and whatever will happen, will happen. And that's the point here. One can't rely on miracles. One doesn't rely on miracles. Yes, there are Yechidei Segula who are on that level, but they're very, very few. We're talking about, even in the time of Tanakh, they were just a handful. And the rest of us, we go along, yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will intervene Be'ezrat Hashem on our behalf at some point, but we can never rely that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to pull off the most miraculous thing. That's one approach. But if you take a look at the next page, the four stories. Interesting stories. Four stories seem to say, no, it's okay to rely on miracles. Fine. The first story is in source number 8. Good morning, time. Ravuna havalei ahu chamra bahu beta re'iya. Ravuna had a certain amount of wine in a very unstable house. The house looked like it was about to collapse. Ubay lifnuye. And he wanted to take the barrels of wine out of the house, but he was afraid that the house could collapse in any moment. So what did Rav Huna do? Ayle l'Ravada bar'ahava l'hasam. So he sort of another got Ravada bar'ahava to come into the house, without telling him why. U'mashchei b'shmaitza. And he started to talk to him and learn it. While Ravada bar'ahava was in the house, and he's talking to him and learning, he tells his servants, what should they do? Take the barrels of wine out. Adapanya, until he took out all the barrels of wine. Basa de Napak, so then they left, and as soon as Ravada bar'ahava walks out of the house, Napal Besa, the house collapsed. So what was that one thinking all along? Since the house is going to collapse. But it won't collapse if Ravada bar'ahava is in the house. He's such a tzaddik, it won't collapse. I'll just get him to stay in the house. He doesn't know why he's there, because he probably won't agree. Initially, I'll get my barrels of wine out. Argish Ravada bar'ahava. Ravada bar'ahava figured out what was going on. He walked out. He wasn't stupid. He says, so it's been, he got very angry at Rav Huna. Why? Shabalok, he had dama Rabbi Yana, ila olam al yama, rada mamakam sakana. V'yom ha'osim lo neis, shem ein osim lo neis. V'mtum shalom ha'osim lo, menakam lo mischiyot, what we learned earlier. Right, the Ravada bar'ahava said, who's to say the miracle would have happened? You could have been killed. I could have been killed. And anyhow, they took away from my mechuyos the fact that it was the name. How could you do this to me? That's the end of the story in the Gemara. So the Mashiach asked the obvious question. What's the obvious question?
What
did
you rely on?
Oh, he got it.
He got it. But what's the obvious question you have to ask? Why did Rav Huna rely on this? Rav Huna brought him in, and Rav Huna got very upset afterwards. Because who says they're going to be an ace? And he's right. So didn't Rav Huna endanger his life and Rav Huna Barahava's life? How could he have done it? Says the Marshal in source number 9, he knows him lo nace. He says, Shemi Yidra Machet, who knows? Maybe Rav Huna Barahava says about himself, who says, that I'm perfect? Can I mean in Parakam de Brochos? The Lohaya Mastik Atzmo with Tzadik. Does who says I'm such a Tzadik? But why did Rav Huna bring him in? Aval Rav Huna Lohaya Chash Lekach Shaya Mashim and Tzadik Gomer. Rav Huna says, he's a Tzadik Gomer. Rav Huna doesn't think he's such a Tzadik, but I know he's such a Tzadik. So he relied on the miracle. He said, that sounds like Mavada, nothing's going to happen. You have a similar story in the Gemara Kiddushin in source number 10. Gemara tells a story about Rabbi Yaakov, the son of Rav Acha Bar Yaakov. Right. And there was a father and son team that the father, Rav Acha, I remember who's who here, the father, Rav Acha, sends his son to go learn Torah. Then he sees the son isn't so successful, he tells him, you take care of the family business, I'm going to go learn Torah. Okay, let's pick up in source number 10 from the third line. Shama Abaye, in the middle of the third line, Abaye hears that the father's coming, that Rav Acha is coming. There was a demon in the Beis Medrash of Abaye. I'm asking you about demons now, but there was a demon in the Beis Medrash of Abaye. This demon used to harm, usually demons are only a problem at night and if you're alone. And this demon would harm that people who went into the Beis Medrash, even if there were two people and even if it was during the day. So he wanted to get rid of the demon. She had this great plan. Amalahu lolated le'inish u'shpisa. He says, when Rav Acha comes into town, no one should offer him a place to sleep for the night. Pass the word around. No one's supposed to offer him a place to sleep. Actually, the midrachesh le'nisa. Maybe an eighth will happen. So he comes into town, no one offers him a place to sleep. Where's he going to sleep? He goes to the Beis Medrash. He went to sleep in that Beis Medrash in the middle of the night. Which unwanted visitor shows up? Right? So he appears as a seven-headed serpent. So the Gemara says, Kokriya Zikara. So Rav Acha started davening. And every time he would bow down in the middle of his davening, what would happen? Nata Chadresha. One head would fall off. Could have a new version of 100 barrels of beer on the wall, like seven heads on the serpent, and you know. Then each time one falls off, six heads left on the serpent, and then you can sing a song, and make up a song, right? But it doesn't take so long, because you only start with seven. Each time another head fell off, and afterwards, they were left with the headless serpent, so I guess it died. Or whatever else happens to demons. So Amalu Lemachar. So the next day, Lemachar goes over to Abaye, and what does he say to him? Ilo et rachish nisa sakintin. So the next one to happen, what's the problem? I would have been in terrible danger. Legitimate complaint? That's true. So what's Abaye's excuse? What's Abaye's excuse? How could he be in danger to Rav Acha? The answer is, he said that he must have been a tzaddikah. Must have been a tzaddikah. There's a little bit of a problem with the language, if he felt that he was such a tzaddikah. Because if you take a look, three lines from the bottom of source 10, the last three words, what does Abaye say? No one should give him a place to sleep. Efsha de mikrachish nisa. Which means, maybe an ace will happen. And maybe it won't. But what happens if an ace doesn't happen? An ace doesn't happen. Rav Acha is like, finished. So how could I have in danger? Seems like it did be such a tzaddikah. So the Sefer HaMatnah, we won't do the whole thing, it's source number 12. Sefer HaMatnah says, no, I'll tell you what the story is. He says, he knew that Rav Acha was a big tzaddik. One of two things will happen. It could be that he's such a big tzaddik that an ace won't happen. Why won't an ace happen if he's such a big tzaddik?
He won't need it.
He won't need it because the demon won't show up. The demon won't show up. If the demon doesn't show up, then nothing's going to happen. But he was hoping that maybe, even though he's such a big tzaddik, even so, what might happen? Mm-hmm. The demon would show up, and once the demon show up, then an ace will happen. In other words, that's what the Midrash means, it doesn't mean maybe Nes will happen and Ravach will be saved, or maybe Nes will happen and won't happen and Ravach will die. It means maybe a Nes will happen and the demon will show up and Ravach will kill it, or maybe a Nes won't happen and the demon won't show up and we're going to be back where we start. Ravach was never in danger. So the Midrash is certainly such a big topic. So again, Abai is Samech on the Nes. Source number 13. The next case. One of my favorite stories. Tana Rabbanan. Maaseh b'makom echad shaya aros. There was some sort of dangerous reptile. Not quite clear what an arod is, but it's a dangerous reptile. Vayamazik et abriyo. And this reptile, this arod, would come along and bite people and endanger them. So he went and they told Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, there's this dangerous arod. Amalam Haruli et Choro. Show me the hole. He was in the ground and he used to come out of the its lair. He says, show me where its lair is. Haru et Choro, they say, it's over there. They're very afraid to go near it. What does Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa do? Natan akevo al pi achor. So, Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, wearing his sandalim, goes over to the lair and puts his ankle right over the hole of where the arod is. Yatsa uneshachov. So the arod comes out and bites Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, umet oto arod. And what happened? The arod died. Nitalo al ktefo reveal the Beis HaMedrash. Chanina ben Dosa picks up the arod and he brings it to the Beis HaMedrash. Amar lahem ru'u banai. My sons, take a look. Ein arod meinis. The arod doesn't kill people. Ela hachkeit meinis. Sins kill people. Ba'ot asha amru. And at that point, people started saying as follows. Oy loy la adam she paga bo arod. Woe unto the person who meets up with the arod. Va'oy lo la arod she paga bo Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. And woe unto the arod who meets up with Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. Nobody should start up with an arod, and no arod should start up with Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. But here what happens? Arod kills. Derech HaTeva is that an arod kills. Arod is dangerous. And what did Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa do? What did Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa do? He stuck his foot over the lair. Now this can be very different from the first two cases. Because if I asked you about the first two cases and I said we learned Ein Somchin al Hanes, how can you answer me? How can you tell me how is it possible that Rav Kuna relied on an ace and Abai relied on an ace? What's the answer? Yeah, they said. Yeah, nobody can rely on the nace for yourself. Why not? Because you don't know how great you are. No one can be so certain. But Rav Huna was certain, objectively, he could be so certain about Rav Ada Bar Ahava that he's a Tzadik Gomor, nothing bad will happen to him. And Abaye could be certain that Rav Acha, oh, he's such a Tzadik Gomor, he won't be harmed by the serpent. But here, how could he be so certain? How could he be so certain? It's about himself. And we learn, you're not allowed to be so mechalanes. What's the answer? So let's look at source 15 and source 16, then come back to source 14. Gemara Brachos, in two different places, tells us a little bit about Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. Damar Rabbi Yehuda, Damar Rab, B'chol yom v'yom, bat kol yotzeit mehar chorei, v'omeret kol ha'olam kulo mizonim b'shvil Chanina b'ni. So the whole world exists because of Chanina, my son, because of Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. I provide everything that this world needs. sun and rain and oxygen and atmosphere and everything, the whole world exists because of Hanina. It's worthy just because of him that the whole world should exist. The Hanina b'ni daila b'kav charuv and mayor of Shabbos, layer of Shabbos. And Hanina, he's happy to eat a basket full of charuvim. What's charuvim?
Carrot.
It's called buxer, right? Basket full of buxer for the week, and he's happy. Because the filet mignon exists because of the Hanina, but he just eats a basket full of carrot, and that's fine. That's one story about Hanina ben Dosa. Another story, in source number 16, another Gemara in Brachos. The Shumaisib Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa, Shalach Lu Matar Eitzel Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, V'chol HaBenosho Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, the great Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, the one who established the Yavle v'Chachamea and saved Am Yisrael and Torah Sheva and the Holy Torah after Chuvah Ma'isheni. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's son was sick. Amar lo Hanina b'ni b'akesh olav rachamim v'yichya. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai turns to Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa and says, please daven for my son. Hiniach rosho bein birkav u'bikesh olav rachamim v'chaya. So Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa puts his head down and daven, and Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's son is cured. I'm Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai ilmale hitiach ben Zakkai et rosho bein birkav kol hayom kulo lo hayom mashkichan alav. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says, if I had davened all day long, put my head down and davened all day long, in Shemayim they would have ignored me. And Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa puts his head down for a moment or two, and look what happened. I'm a low ishtav, he Hanina gadol mimcha, is Hanina greater than you? His wife said to him, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, ah, you're the Nasi, you're Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Amr lo alav. Not so much that he's greater than me. Elohu domer ke'eved lishnei hamelech. Va'ani domer kisar lishnei hamelech. He's like the king's servant. Says Rashi, ke'eved ben bayit. See, when the minister wants to visit the king, what does he need? It's an appointment. He has to be ready and he has to clear his schedule, etc. He's a sah. When the servant wants to see the king, what does he do? Just in and out all the time. The relationship between Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was like this. You can walk in them any time. I'm a sar, I'm the Nazi, I'm a big shot, but I need appointments. He ever just walks in and out. That's Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa. But still, can he lie? Can he call himself a tzaddik gamur? So the Ian Yaakov, source 14, says, this case is different. Why did he put his foot by the hole? Why did he go to the Arab? Why?
The
Arab
was coming to other people?
Because it was harming other people. So who did he do this for? He did it for Hatzalat Am Yisrael. He did it because Am Yisrael is suffering. If Am Yisrael is suffering, then you have to be a little bit careful about your own anivut, your own modesty. It's very nice to be modest, but there was no room for modesty over here. Why not? People are suffering. There seemed to be no way to get rid of this aura. So if you take a look at source 14, he writes, V'himiach hakeva al pitcho, ma'sha ma'ksha ma'arsha eich samach atzma al hanez. How did we lie in a miracle? Yeshlomar shani Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa shahaya muftach ba'atzma shahatzola mitzuya al yadol. Why? When he tells the two stories, shareyata batko v'am al kol olam kulo nizam v'shul Hanina b'ni v'Hanina b'ni daila ba Kav Charuv, in the first Gemara we read in source 15, V'chein etpala lalacholim kidur kaman in source 16, V'hochanani sikein ba'atzmo kidei lahatzil sha'ar hatzibor misakana. V'hezek u'zuchut ha'rabim tolibo. It was based on the zuchut of the rabbi. He was aware of who he was. He wasn't a balgaizanik. He was a tremendous almas. But he says, Anivus is very nice, but if the tzibur is suffering and someone has to volunteer and maybe endanger himself a little bit, but to do it because the tzibur needs you, and he knew his status. He knew Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai used to ask him to daven. He knew he heard the Basco just like everybody else heard the Basco. And that's what he was doing. He was willing to do it. Which brings us to the fourth story. Amar Alav in story 17, Al Nachum Ish Gamzo. You know about Nachum Ish Gamzo? So Nachum Ish Gamzo is famous for many things. He was the Rebbe of Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Akiva first started to learn. And he was called Nachum Ish Gamzo, amongst other reasons, because what was the favorite saying that he had? Gamzo the Tova. The Nachum Ish Gamzo did not have an easy end to his life. The Gemara tells us several level Nachum Ish Gamzo Shaya Suma Mishtei Einav. At the end of his life, he was blind in both eyes. Gidei Mishtei Yadav. He had lost both of his arms. Kiteya Mishtei Raglav. He lost both of his legs. The Chol Gufo Malei Shchin, and his entire body was filled with boils. Vayamutal Bebayit Ra'ua. And he was sitting in a house that was in danger of collapsing. V'ragle mitaso munachim b'safolim shamayim k'dei shelo ya'alu alav nimalim. And in order to protect himself from all the insects which would crawl on the ground and up on his body, and he had no way to protect himself, the legs of the bed were sitting in bowls of water. So that if the bugs would crawl to get onto the bed, they would go into the bowls of water and they would drown there. But this was Rav Nachum Ish Gamzo. Bikshu Talmidav Lefanos Mitaso. His Talmidim wanted to take him out of the house because it looked like it collapsed at any moment. Ve'achakach Lefanos Mitakelim. And then take out all the stuff. But since it collapsed at any moment, you don't take out the furniture first. First take out the people. Or in this case, the person. And then the furniture. Amalem Banai, so Nachum Ish Gamzo said to them, Panuat Akeinu Bachakach Panuat Mitasi. First take out the furniture, then you can take me out. Shemuftach Lachem Kozman Shani Babayit Ein Abayit Nofa. I promise you, says, as long as I'm in the house won't collapse. You take out the furniture. Panuat Akeinu, Pinuat Akeinu, Bachakach Pinuat Mitasi, Benafal Abayit. They took out all the furniture. And how long it took them? But every time they took out all the furniture. Then they took out his bed. As soon as they took out his bed, with Nachum Ish Gamzo on it, the bed collapsed. The house collapsed. So, what's the problem? Yes, again, he's so much calling names. So here, he's not saving on himself. Who's he saving?
Himself.
Well, his furniture. It's Caleb. And this isn't, it's not that Tamidim decided, oh, I won't collapse and I'm not going to stand for it. They were worried. He told them, no, it's okay. Don't worry, I promise you, nothing will happen. Well, how is he able to be master himself such as Kaviko? So the Marsha says, in source 18, Amalahem Banai Tanua Kalen Shemuftach, he wasn't worried about the Gemara we learned earlier that he can't rely on miracles. Nachum Ish Gamzo said, oh, I'm a Tzaddik Gomer. Presumably, anybody who says he's a Tzaddik Gomer by definition doesn't seem to be a Tzaddik Gomer. So I think the answer lies in the background of the story. Why did Nachum Ish Gamzo end up blind and the paraplegic? The Gemara tells the story. I didn't try to copy the story just before him. The Gemara says, Nachum Ish Gamzo was once traveling along, and he had lots of food and drink with him. And the poor person stops him along the way, and he says, Rebbe, he says, just feed me. So Nachum Ish Gamzo says, okay, just wait until I unload the donkeys. So he starts unloading the donkeys to give the guy food and drink, and this army collapses and dies. And even though Nachum is planning to give him food and the drink, that instead of just like grabbing whatever he had and like quickly giving it to him, He wants to unload the donkey. So it takes. How long will it take? An extra 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 5 minutes. How long does it take? An extra few minutes. And he's going to give it to him. Because he delayed that extra minute or two, whatever it is, the person died. And Rav Nachum Ish Gamzu asked that this happened to him. That he'd be punished with his eyes and his legs and his arms because he wasn't desired and he didn't notice things and he didn't act in a certain way, etc. And why did he ask? And then that's what happens. Because the Shabbat granted him his decree. So, did he deserve all that? It was an innocent mistake. And he was going to give the guy. He just wait a moment. How is he supposed to know? And the Mefarshim explained that Nachum Ish Gamzu was such a tzaddik, he says, he doesn't really deserve all this. But in Shamayim, there's this flaw in him that he didn't give it right away. And that means in Olam, his Olam Haba will be flawed. He doesn't want a flawed Olam Haba. He doesn't want to be missing even the slightest amount of the Olam Haba that he wants, that he deserves. So therefore, I want to make sure that my Olam Haba is totally intact. That in Shemayim they won't hold this against me at all. And therefore, he asked that all these horrible things happen to him in Olam Haba. And they did happen. Maybe somebody like Nachum Ish Gamzu could be so certain, somebody who's so demanding on himself, can be certain that he really is a tzaddik kabbalah. That if this is how he responds to the slightest flaw that's noticeable in his own character, then that's a level of tzidkus that maybe even he can be certain that the house won't collapse on him. Those are the four stories. Finally, there's a concept of Shluchei Mitzvahim and Nizakim. Source number 19, the Gemara says, Itmar Rav Elazar, Shluchei Mitzvah Einam Nizakim, Lo Ba'alichasan V'lo Ba'chazirasan. Somebody who's involved in a mitzvah, what won't happen to him? Nothing bad will happen. That's why when you go up there to sell, what does everybody give you? They give you Shluchei Mitzvah money. Right? They give you money to give to stock up. Right. And they say, here, so you come there to sell and you get stock up. And it works. Ain't not on the way to doing the mitzvah, below the chazirasa. So I thought this was very strange. I thought that you should give money to somebody who's going to America. Because maybe going there to sell, maybe by definition you're doing a mitzvah.
Right.
But going to America, maybe you're recruiting some mitzvah, I don't know. But, you know, somebody's going to America. So, or you're going off Saturday, you're going off to vacation in Florida, Rio de Janeiro, that's when you really need to give Shleach Mitzvah money. Because you never know, you know it's not a mitzvah to go to Miami. I don't know if it's an Aveira, but that was the last Licha. It's a different story. But, you know, there maybe you need the Shleach Mitzvah. So, why is it that Shluchei Mitzvah in Nizak? Shluchei Mitzvah relies on that. Why is it? Why are we relying on miracles? So the answer is that if a person is doing something and he's totally focused that this activity is really l'shem mitzvah, so go back to what we learned in the Sefer Chinuch about the Tzaddik Gomer. The Tzaddik is such a spiritual person that he's so connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says the Tzaddik doesn't apply to him. So a Shliach Mitzvah who's totally focused on why he's going to do a mitzvah. So in that case, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him special protection. And then he's up. And nothing will happen. And yet, you know of cases where something does happen. The Gemara relates to that in verse 21. Rebbe Kitzer, the Gemara says that it's true that Shluchei Mitzvahim and Nizakim, we'll just take a look at the last four lines in source 21. Tamar Rabbi Lazar Shluchi Mitzvahim and Nizakin. Gemara says, Hecha Deshliach Hazek Hashani. If it's an exceptionally dangerous situation, then even if you're a Shliach Mitzvah, something bad can happen. And we learned this from Shmuel. Vayom Shmuel, Eich Eilech V'Shama Shul V'Aragani. Shmuel has been commanded by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be Moshe, one of Yishai's sons, as the next king. And he says, but if Shaul hears about what I'm going to do, he will kill me. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Vayom Hashem, Eglas Bokit Yach V'Yadacha, make up a story that you're going to be Makar V'Korban in Beit Lachan. And he was Makar V'Korban, but you have a cover story, so Shaul won't find out. I, the Shliach Mitzvah, the Shliach Mitzvah who appears in Shaul's eyes as being a Mori B'Malchus, that's dangerous. And if it's really, really dangerous, then even a Shliach Mitzvah can be in trouble. And maybe, I'm not sure, but maybe one can say as follows. You see, not every Shliach Mitzvah is a person like Avraham Avinu or Daniel, Hanan, Mishael, Azariah. So, a Shliach Mitzvah, if he's totally focused on his shlichus in a certain case, certainly gets an added degree of protection. But a shliach mitzvah has a whole previous life to him, before he became the shliach mitzvah. And therefore, if it's a place of shliach hazeka, then that added level of protection is not absolute. He's not quite an Avraham Avinu. And therefore, the makom the shliach hazeka, even the shliach mitzvah, can get harmed. So presumably the Shliach Mitzvah, the level of degree that is not Nizok, will depend on how focused he is on the Shlichos, but also how dangerous the activity that he's involved in. Finally, in the last court, we won't read the whole thing, there's from Rav Sternbuch and his Tshuvah Sanhago, talks about the degree of ishtadlus versus bitachon that a person should have. But ishtadlus say basically like the Sefer Chinuch writes, and we saw the Chovetz Chalavavu. How does HaKadosh Baruch Hu run the world? Derech HaTeva. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world with Derech HaTeva, so what do you need to do? You need to do ishtadlus. You need to do ishtadlus. Which means you have to worry about eating and drinking, having a roof over your head, etc. Person has to do their study. Are there yechidei segula? Are there exceptional people? Yes, there are people. Their bitachon is so great, their dzeikus and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so great, that maybe the level of ishtadlus that they need to do is much, much less. One of these journey tapes, there's a song about the Rebbe from Lublin. About the guy who brings food every day. I don't know if it's based on a true story, but it's about the Rebbe of Lublin, that every day, the guy telling the story is his shamash. And he says, every day, like clockwork, it comes lunchtime, and the Rebbe of Lublin says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please bring me food. Yeah. And I walk out with the food, and he thanks HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this Shabbos is getting upset. He thinks his food comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his food comes from me, what are you talking about? And there's a whole story there about a mice, and then one day, the Shabbos says he's not bringing out the Rebbe's food, and then let's see what happens. And then he tells the whole mice, and Jeff says, the Rebbe says, "No, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I want to thank you for providing me with my food," and the guy's about to walk out empty-handed, there's a knock on the door, and somebody comes in and wants to thank the Rebbe for something happened this morning, and brings him
Lunch,
plate of food. At which point the shaman says that from then on, he knew exactly that where does the guy's food come from? It's going to come right out of his bottle one way or another, and he gladly is willing to bring out the Rebbe's food. So, okay, so the Rebbe will bring whatever in the story. There are people on such a high level of bitachon. The average person has to do his ishtadlus. But, he writes in the last paragraph, says a person has to be careful about the level of his ishtadlus. So it's ishtadlus and there's ishtadlus. And sometimes people overdo it on their ishtadlus. And when you overdo it on your ishtadlus, there's a price to pay. And he writes, in that last paragraph on page 3, The third line in the last paragraph, Umavil Masha Shamati Pami Pia Gon the Tzadik Rabbachan Vatim in Zecha Tzadik Mikodesh Duvracha Kishabal Beiteinu Shalu Atal Begeder Ashtadlis the Parnasa. His family, the youngster's family, Rabbi Hanan Vassaman, came to his house and they asked him, how much Ashtadlis does a person have to do for Parnasa? Veishu Parnasa Lo Chotzit. Kids just grab Parnasa. Takes time. And sometimes you do more Ashtadlis and you make more money. Says sometimes people put in so much Ashtadlis, they'll make a lot of money, but they suffer with their health and their family health and maybe in their family life. Now, just because you're putting more Ashtadlis and you're gaining more doesn't mean ultimately you gain. Says the Ashtadl kefi ha'efsha b'chayim ha'ktsarim ba'olam hazeh la'abot z'chiyot. Says a person should be mishtadel that your life is very short in this world. And you should be zoh, you should have z'chuyot, you should build up the z'chuyot. And then you should have bitochot. You'll do your bit of ishtadl, so like Kodesh Baruch Hu, we'll take care of the rest. That's a lesson really for all of us. In any event, somchan al hanes or ain't somchan al hanes. Right? The average person, and even the wonderful average people like you guys over here, but we can't be somach al hanes. We're not allowed to be somach al hanes because Baruch Hu wants to run the world b'derech hateva. Are the yechidei skula? Yes. If we are, can great people sometime identify great other greater people that they think you're the ones to rely on miracles for them, the Gemara tells us that there are. But we're not in that category. We're certainly not about ourselves. We're not that becoming a Bendosa, we're not that Lachem Jamzu, nor are we Abaye and Rabuno can identify people that one can be Somech al hanes. And we have to do what we need to do our Ishtadlus. But we have to remember that the world runs on Ishtadlus. But the amount of Ishtadlus, 99.99999% of the world runs on Siyata Dishmaya. We have to put in a little bit of Ishtadlus. We have to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Bezus HaShem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will provide. Okay.